I don't like pumpkin pie, and I'm not going to eat it. Nobody's going to cram pumpkin pie down my throat.
Black Friday at Bill Curry Ford is going to blow your mind. On top of 0% interest financing, zero payments for 90 days, and zero money down on new vehicles, you've got a $1,000 gift card available this weekend for the purchase of a new vehicle. They're going to hand that to you, and it's $2,000 if you're military or first responders. All the details and all the inventory at BillCurryFord.com, 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Don't worry, drive Curry. Buccaneers fans, Thanksgiving edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast. If you did not listen to the last podcast, it's at JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, all kinds of platforms. It's a good one. We get into the real state of the Buccaneers.
No fireworks with Lee. No fireworks.
It's calm.
But lively conversation.
Lively. It is pretty intense. You know, it was going
really?
Back, listening to it, Ira. You know, I do because I edit them. You know, I have to cut out all of your screaming and your flatulence and all that stuff.
Flatulence.
Very good conversation. Really, because we're at a crossroads right now.
Nobody made any excuses about that debacle. And we shouldn't.
No. And we learned a little bit more about things today. We're sitting here at $1. We know that the high-tech surveillance equipment is going on right now.
That's fine.
We're being listened to in real time.
And watched.
And watched in real time. Because that's how it is. But look, we're also a mile south of Bill Curry Ford. Right up the street, they've got 0% financing, zero money down, zero payments for 90 days. Let me say it again. On nearly every model of new vehicle, 0% financing. That's a win right out of the gate. No money down's a win. No payments for 90 days. That's a win, especially with the holidays here. So you got to get to Bill Curry Ford. On top of all that, you get the Ira Kaufman discount, but you have to reach out to Sean Sullivan, the GM, to ask for that. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com. You can find him at the dealership most days, and he'll love to talk football with you, and he's very passionate about that. So allow some time. And also the Curry family is doing so much in the community like they always do, family-owned.
Especially this time of year.
Exactly. So many active charities, and just we could sit here for forever talking about all the things that they do, supporting the community. 65 years they've been doing it, family-owned, BillCurryFord.com.
Can I add something about Sean?
Absolutely.
I talked to Sean this morning, and he pretty much assured me that his next podcast that he drops, it's going to be lively.
And you had some insight into that today because you couldn't get a word in. He just kept talking.
I had a prelude, let's say.
Yeah.
A prequel.
Florida's Elite Restoration. Get to their website, floridaselite-restoration.com. Have a plan for your home and your property whenever you have a disaster. We'll talk about them a little bit later. But they've also got the Ira Kaufman discount. Mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan when you first call. And if you need their service after a free inspection, you get $500 back. Can't
and
get
just,
better
Steve,
than that.
Just because it's not rainy season, that doesn't mean you're trouble-free at home. A pipe can burst at any time. You could have mold issues that you're unaware of.
Yeah, and water damage is probably much more popular than storm damage, you know, unless a huge hurricane is blowing through, and we didn't have that this year. So, Ira, here we are at $1, and I'm just going to get right to it because I was kind of amazed. I'm listening to the Baker Mayfield news conference driving in.
Don't tell me you recognize my voice, Steve. I mean, my voice blends into, I could be some guy from Iowa, Lily. You know.
You asked him, hey, twice you mentioned Todd Bowles' name. You said, hey, fans are, you know, get this guy out of here. They're grumbling, all whatever.
You've lost a team.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said, well, what's your message from the locker room in response to that? And Baker Mayfield, he made a face like, oh, non-silliness, you know, like a snickery. And then he answered you, but he didn't answer the question. And he never mentioned Todd Bowles. And it struck me only because if you ask Baker Mayfield, we've all watched everything he's ever said as a Buccaneer. That's what we do, right? We've all either witnessed it in person or we've listened to it at some point. And we've heard him say a million times, I love Grizz. I love Liam. You ask him about a player. I love that guy. This, that. He does so much more that you don't know. He's so valuable here. He's this. He's that. You ask him about a coach. Todd Bowles, the head coach. Fans are being critical. Blah, blah, blah. He didn't mention the guy's name. Didn't answer the question. Didn't address it. I don't know what to make of that, Ira. So it needs your wisdom.
I don't want to read too much into it, Lee. I think he wanted to say what he wanted to say about controlling your own destiny in six games, and I guess he didn't want to get into talking about what's going on with Bowles, but you got to be careful, Lee. I'm not sure it's a big issue, but to Steve's point, he didn't address the question, Lee. And the question was specific about Bowles and some fans saying that he's lost the team, and he didn't address it.
I got a completely different impression. I saw his physical reaction, and I thought that said it all. You know, like, you got to be kidding me. Come on.
Well, I think that's a reaction against the fans, the skeptical fans.
To me, just the concept that Bowles has lost the team. I just got the impression that he thought it was a ridiculous assumption. He muffled a laugh. If he was in a bar or something, he would have guffawed. I just got the opposite impression. I know Bowles is tight with him because Bowles backs him up. You know, he goes off on a team a couple weeks ago. Bowles backed him up more than once publicly. He was right. And obviously, Mayfield knows Bowles saved his career and has set him up for a monster contract within the next 18 months, I would assume. I just got a completely different impression. And I'm one of these guys that are looking for what you guys are reading, and I did not get that. I know he didn't mention Bowles by name.
Were you surprised he didn't mention Bowles? I mean,
I just thought my reaction was he thought the assumption that Bowles has lost the team was so ridiculous he didn't have to respond.
Okay.
Hey, look, there's so many words we could put in his mouth, like, oh my gosh, we're behind Todd. It's a ridiculous assumption. We're all in this together, including Todd, Grizz. Nothing. Last week, a week ago, people sat here listening to him talk about Sean McVay by name, how much he helped him, all that stuff. You gave him a layup. He didn't take it. I don't know why.
I'll try it again next week, Steve. We'll see what
he
says.
There you go. Well, hopefully they win.
Uh-oh.
Hopefully they
Brace yourself. You know how he is about repeated questions. He doesn't like it.
I'll tweak it. I'll tweak it.
Sorry. Lee,
no, go ahead.
I was going to say he could have even said, Ira, get off the internet. You know, something. He didn't. I don't know.
Now we're talking about impressions. In the locker room, you asked Bucky Irving, are you physically ready to play?
Are you football ready?
His reaction was not cool. His first reaction was like, he wanted to say, what the hell? But he just said, what? And you repeated the question, and he's like, I'm ready to play. And then you repeated, are you physically able to play? I'm ready to play. I got the impression he was PO'd at the question.
I think Lee's right. And it wasn't the first question that got that kind of reaction from
him. No, he was surly today.
Yeah, he was a little surly, Steve. A little surly. Strong on the religion because he believes in it.
Okay,
you know,
you're less cynical than me.
I think it's genuine. I do think it's genuine from his part.
The reason why I say that, and I'm not trying to knock anybody's beliefs. Please don't take it the wrong way. I came at it cynically. He doesn't like dealing with media.
I think that's the point, Lee. He didn't want to be up there.
He didn't. Yeah, he was forced. He's ordered. He was ordered to be up there, and I think he knows, or someone has taught him, that if you start invoking God for 30 seconds, that's 30 seconds less than you have to answer football questions. It's a dodge, in other words.
That's Brad. Like me repeating Russo's name and Krasnicki's name all the time. It gives me another 5 seconds.
Well,
like,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a little confused. If he didn't want to talk to the media, why did he?
Ordered to. These guys are supposed to be there.
Yeah, but most of them aren't.
Most of them aren't.
Because he's going to play Sunday, and he hasn't been playing.
Okay, but if he didn't want to talk, he could have just said, I'll talk Friday. Or they could have said, oh, you don't want to talk? We're going to tell everybody you'll talk Friday. It'll be a much lower crowd. It'll be cool. I don't know why.
I got the impression he was ordered. No one told me that, but he didn't want to be there. And generally, if you don't want to talk, they're not going to put you up behind the mics.
So. And that's not an unusual stance for Irving with your experience. Sees you come, and he's heading towards the exit.
Oh, yeah. And I make eye contact all the time, and, he never says hi or anything to me. He just, like, glares at me.
Steve, one of the major themes that came out today.
Kind of like what women do in a bar.
Steve, one of the major storylines is, and it's true. You can't argue with it. They don't need any help, Steve. They do control their destiny, including beating the Panthers twice and knocking them out and winning the division, because I don't think too many people are worried about Atlanta at this point and the Saints are the Saints. So that was one of the main things, Steve, is that the fact that they don't need any help, I just think that should be a big theme for Bowles this week. Like, get your head out of your ass and let's do what we can do. Let's play Buck football. And they haven't done it, Steve. I don't know what's gone on since the bye. This defense has really been terrible since the bye.
Isn't it too early for that, though, as a theme? I'm just asking you just logically, right? Because Dallas controls its destiny one at a time. Atlanta can still go 10-7, beat the Bucks, and be right. I mean, most teams in the league are still mathematically in it.
Atlanta can go 10-7 and still not make the playoffs. If the Bucks take care of their business, they're going to make the playoffs. So I wouldn't use Atlanta as an example, Steve.
I can't see the Bucks running the table.
I think even if they get to 11-6, they're going to win this division.
Oh, of course they will.
Yeah.
And that's 5-1. Yeah. I think 5-1's doable, Steve. It's doable.
All right, Ira. So
but the way they're playing
exactly
gives you pause. It gives you pause.
I asked Larry Foote. He sits in with either him or George Edwards. They rotate weeks to serve as the defensive coordinator role as it relates to the weekly news conference. I asked him if there are any positives he could pull away from.
I can't believe you asked it.
Well,
I thought he might say Yaya Diaby or something.
Who knows? It's not for me to say what he's going to say.
Yeah.
So I asked him any couple of positives you could pull from Sunday night. Anything, you know, whatever. He didn't name one. He just said, I'll just speak for me.
When I get my ass kicked,
I respond, and that's my pot, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's rough when a coach.
There were a lot of questions today that didn't get a direct answer, Lee. They didn't get direct answers.
No.
Whether it was Mayfield on Bowles or like Steve says, Foot.
You know, you're speaking about questions. I have to admit, I'll raise my hand. I was a little female dog today. I wanted to ask Buck Irving, hey, there was a report out there that you had non-physical issues. But the way he was surly, I'm like, I don't want the guy to take a swing at me, man. I don't know how he'll respond to that.
It was hinted around. You know, it was the first time you got hurt, and it wasn't that difficult to deal
dancing
with.
Dancing around.
It was a lot of dancing.
You mean it wasn't like when Austin Seferian Jenkins went to the Jets, and at his first news conference around his locker, the first question to him was, are you an alcoholic?
Steve? Did you make did you fly up there just to ask that question?
No.
And by the way, his reaction to that, there's video out there. His reaction to that was pretty similar to Mayfield when you brought up, did Todd Bowles lose the team?
I don't think Mayfield can feign any awareness of the anti-Bowles sentiment that's out there. I think Mayfield's well aware of it.
Oh, I think they all
well
are.
Well aware of it.
I think they I all
don't know.
Are.
Maybe he didn't want to piss off the fan base by saying those people are crazy.
Ira, this goes back to, if you think he's well aware of it, then shouldn't that mean he be well aware
address
of
it?
If you're in the public eye, which Baker and the whole team is, it's difficult for me to believe they would not know social media reaction. Not even to a little degree. Like, hey, did you hear what, or did you read what so-and-so wrote? Whatever. Joe Bucks fan. These a-holes are Joe Bucks fan. Did you see what they wrote? You know, something like that. I find it difficult to believe that those guys are oblivious to what's going
Lee,
on.
Did you think it was interesting? I don't want to pat myself on the back here, but I did ask that question about what happened to him in Cleveland in 21. Different injury. Granted, different. No two injuries are exactly the same. He did one of these Mayfields. I'm playing through it. It didn't work out.
No,
he wasn't effective.
Yeah, he blew his contract.
And Steve, I did ask him if that was going to be any factor going through that experience about how he's going to deal with this. To me, I left thinking, when he left the podium, I left thinking 85%. He's going to play.
I was 90-something percent, for sure. Because he made it very clear, which I appreciated very much, he made it very clear up there that in Cleveland, I broke X in my shoulder.
Labrum, I think.
He mentioned something broken. Then he went to the torn labrum. Then he went to the partial rotator cuff tear.
And he kept playing.
And he played through it, and he had surgery after the season. He flat out said, this is nothing like that. It's just pain tolerance. So I'm going back to what Aqib Talib said earlier in the week on the Arena YouTube. He's going to shoot it up and play.
Should I have asked him that? He probably wouldn't have answered it, Lee. But not that it's illegal. You know,
no.
I mean,
I can't imagine he's not going to play.
I think it's pain tolerance at this point, Lee. I think it's pain tolerance.
You really think if he's out there saying it's pain tolerance and then he doesn't play Sunday, he's going to say, well, it hurts too much?
No, I don't think
it's not going to happen.
I don't think he's going to do
it's not going to happen. So Hassan Reddick back on the practice field.
Who?
Hassan Reddick, Bucks edge rusher, back on the practice
Next.
Field.
I've seen enough.
But he gets pressures, Ira.
Lee, I've seen enough.
Bredesen. You know, this is the third revenge game for Hassan Reddick. I was waiting for the first one. I was waiting, okay, we got the Jets. You know, they ruined his life last year.
We got the Eagles.
You know, he played well there. They didn't
they
keep
him. Yeah,
they won a Super Bowl without him. Nothing. And now we got Arizona, his original team.
Playing him out of position.
Yeah. You think we get a revenge game on Sunday?
Wait, I think if the Bucks defensive staff is relying on Hassan Reddick to make a big difference in this game, I think the Bucks are in more trouble than we even imagine.
Yeah. This gets to the core vision of this franchise. How many years have I been screaming about an edge rush and they get JPP, which may have been one of the greatest moves Jason Light's ever made. For a third-round pick, he got a dynamite edge rusher. So way to go, Jason, there. And then after 3 years, JPP's too old. Bye-bye, JPP. And here we are again for how many years? And you look at the Cardinals. Josh Sweat, who I even said maybe the Bucks ought to take a flyer on. They go out and get Josh Sweat. Look what he's doing. Calais Campbell. How many freaking times has Calais Campbell been out there for the taking and the Bucks needing defensive line help every year? He's not good enough for us. He's not good enough for us. He's not good. And wherever he signs, he dominates.
I remember that year that he went to Jacksonville. He transformed that whole defense, Steve.
Yes.
That was 26.
Now, he's not the same player. He's still pretty good.
And every time every time he was available, the Bucks needed help on the defensive line. Every time they turned their nose up on the guy. I would like to know whose Wheaties he took a leak in.
I checked the Cardinal depth chart. They have Sweat listed as left defensive end. So he's coming off the left side. He'll be going against Gedeky.
Well, a couple things with that. The
Cardinals, I'm not sure Gedeky's not playing better than Worf's right now.
He is playing better. Cardinals have 22 sacks. Very low number. Bucks have 29. Cardinals don't have much of a pass rush. They blitz kind of an
average. They got takeaways, Steve. They're doing okay on takeaways.
They blitz kind of an average amount. But they're basically a clown show. Is what they are, right?
Well, so they lose close games, Steve. They lose close games.
Ira, I watched it last night on the quick replay. They played Jacksonville last week. They lost in a long overtime game, late in overtime.
Didn't they get 4 takeaways in that game?
And they did not turn the ball over in addition to all those takeaways.
So plus 4.
It was 3 or 4. I don't remember.
It was 4.
3 or 4. Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence threw 3 interceptions. Okay. I don't remember the fourth one.
All right.
But let's just say it's 3
Could
or 4.
Could have been a fumble. Yeah.
Arizona did not turn the ball over. They dominated time of possession. They forced 3 or 4 turnovers, and they lost. That's Arizona in a nutshell.
I've been wanting to say this for a couple weeks now. Cardinals being +3, maybe +4 in turnovers, and they lose. The Bucks having 3 turnovers at Buffalo, they lose. It just reinforces what I've been saying for years. If you don't play good defense, takeaways don't mean a damn thing. They might save you once in a while, but you still have to have a base, good, solid, fundamental defense.
It's hard to lose a game when you're +4, Steve. It's hard.
It's a clown show over there. Their number one corner going in this year, they drafted Will Johnson in the draft. Everybody was supposed to be, top, didn't go in the first
round. Some injury concerns about him.
He's played 4 games. He's hurt again. He's messed up. They lost Sean Murphy bunting in the offseason to a non-football injury. He's not playing. They don't have a good pass defense.
What's going on with Nolan? You're worried about Nolan.
Nolan's in his fourth game back, I think. Fourth or fifth game back after not playing early in the year from injury. So he's rounding into form, their first-round pick defensive tackle. They've got some talented pieces, but they're more of a mess than the Bucks when it comes to actually winning a football game.
You know who's not playing bad? Jacoby Brissett.
Oh, someone reminded me on Twitter this morning about Jacoby Brissett. Remember that? I think it was when the Tampa Bay area was first introduced to Todd Bowles as a head coach. They just got back from Munich, bye week off, go to Cleveland, play like crap at Cleveland. Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback.
Yep.
Tom Brady's on what appeared to be a game-winning drive, and Bowles pulls the plug, citing he might throw a pick when he threw 2 all season.
Oh, that's correct. You know, Brissett's playing way better than Kyler Murray was for Arizona before he got hurt.
Brissett's
playing better than Murray.
Brissett's a weird quarterback. He'll give you like 3 good games, and then he'll look like Jacoby Brissett.
That sounds like a Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
That's why they're backup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
He's been more consistent.
They don't run the ball well, Steve.
They don't have any.
Somebody was talking about how good their run game is.
They ran the ball for like a yard and a half average against Jacksonville. That's not exactly a great.
They don't have much of a run game at all.
Now, it's a weird team, but we know that the Bucs offense gives up chunks of yards, makes backup receivers look great.
Their whole offense flows through McBride.
Yeah, Trey McBride, great player.
That's the guy, Lee. That's the guy.
Great player and diverse, and I don't know who's going to cover him. I don't know. I'm assuming they're going to put Servassier Dennis on him and let him try to chase.
Oh, boy.
Or Tyke
Parrish.
Smith.
I'd trust Parrish before Dennis.
I don't know. He's a big physical guy. Very interesting up here, Ira, that I believe, and I'll try to confirm this, But we watched Larry Foote explain that the Bucks wanted to draft Trey McBride.
He did say that.
He phrased it as there were a lot of people here at One Buck buzzing about drafting this guy, but we didn't get him.
Yeah.
So that was very interesting. Trey McBride, superstar Cardinals tight end, was taken two picks before Luke Getteke. Two picks. Now, I would take Getteke all day because those offensive linemen are worth gold, but very interesting. Then later in that draft, the Buccaneers, with the first pick of round four, drafted Cade Otton. And
you're missing the lead here, Steve.
And they took Rashad White in between.
What's the lead? They took Logan Hall instead of Trey McBride. That's the lead. They had a chance to get Trey McBride at the end of the first round. Now, they're not the only team that, you know, whiffed on Trey McBride, who a year from now, maybe even less than that, could be considered the number one tight end in football. I mean, Brock Bowers is really good. Got nobody to throw him the ball. But, you know, somebody could say, well, Trey McBride's doing this with the Cardinals. Who do they got? You know, you can use the same argument.
I'm with Steve. I'm not so much the Logan Hall. I think it's especially who's in the news, Otten. You know, he's dropping these gimmies and giving away.
But McBride was long gone by the time they drafted Otten. He was long gone.
No, I understand what you're saying. I get it. And, of course, it would have been fun as hell if, okay, your first pick of that draft is a guy you hope replaces Rob Gronkowski. Tom Brady's still here. He's going to be grooming this, you know, stud young tight end. Would have been a lot of fun, but that's not where they
went. By the way, speaking of Cade Otten, Lee, and tell me if this is hyperbole, he's got six games to prove whether this team should really make a strong bid to keep him off the free agent market. He's got six games left because I think right now they're looking at an upgrade.
He's going to have a hell of a final six games.
I mean, am I laying out a lot of money for him at this point to keep him?
I don't know this, Ira, but I'm guessing they've already made that decision.
I don't know.
Well, the reason why I say that play, that botched play he had the other night, it should have been called down. If it was Rob Gronkowski, it would have been. Tom Brady was a quarterback, it would have been. Pat Mahomes was a quarterback, it would have been.
But those are the plays that give you pause.
You wave goodbye.
It all comes down to price for me. He's a good, not great player.
That's right.
And it's not his fault they don't have another tight end. That's not how they run their offense.
He's never going to be a downfield threat.
That's just it. Everybody and their brother, when they look at tight ends, they always look at the receiving. They don't look at the blocking. He's a decent blocker. I don't know if I'll call him a good blocker. Mayfield and Josh Grizzard rave about his blocking. Absolutely rave. They think that he saved the Bucks earlier in the year because they had so many injuries.
He ain't John Mackey. Take it easy.
No, and he's not even Jimmy Giles for that matter.
Or Gronk.
Well, Gronk was without saying.
Yeah. But you're right. Now when they talk about tight ends, hey, how many catches you got?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. They don't talk about blocking. And he's still a good blocker. I certainly would not break the bank for him. I don't think he's a weapon in the passing game. He's average at best in the passing game. And if I was light, I'd tell Lawton's agent, go ahead and shop yourself and come back to me.
I'm still not over the 70 yards passing, Steve. I'm just not over it. In a game when you had to throw the ball?
You shouldn't be over
behind?
It. You shouldn't be over it. There's no reason for it. I don't understand.
70 yards, Lee. You don't see that. You don't see that.
No, not in this era. When's the last time you did see that? Seriously.
Well, for the Bucs, it's been 16 years. It's a long time.
Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration. People have to memorize the name. Go check out the Google reviews. They're 5 stars across the board. They service the entire Tampa Bay area and beyond in the state. Call them up 24/7 whenever you have a disaster at your property. Mold, they're licensed mold remediation specialists. Water damage is a killer. You have to address these things immediately in order to get insurance coverage. A lot of people don't realize that. Oh, I had a leak and a month later, I think it's growing mold. Let me call my insurance company. No, you knew about the leak and you didn't do anything and now things have changed. Call them. Free evaluation, free inspection at your property. Mention Ira and you get $500 back if you need their service after the free evaluation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. They got the best technology. Owner Josh Martin, family owned. You will not do better. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Cade Otten, Ira, here's the thing. Here's the problem that the Bucks have boxed themselves into with Cade Otten. You have to be able to replace him. So that means spending more money probably in the free agent market than you would want to.
Mm-hmm. I think it's probably the number one priority on the offensive side of the ball.
Or you have to draft a guy, and we know how much they care about their draft capital, but you really have nobody behind them. These tight ends behind them still have no catches, and they're really not players that are ascending. So it's all or nothing. You got to make a decision.
So the answer's not on the roster.
It's difficult.
It's not on the roster right now.
Yeah.
Bredesen said recently, and I'm getting hot, and it's a long way around. Bredesen said they signed him to play center, I guess as a backup in case they didn't get Barton. I think the same thing will happen here. Like Steve said, get a decent free agent tight end. Don't break the bank. Get a decent one. It would be an upgrade. Maybe not a major upgrade, but an upgrade nonetheless. And then take your chances getting a tight end in the draft.
All right, Ira, where are you with this Bucs team? Obviously, Baker Mayfield is the news of the week. People are paying attention. We talked about his injury, and it's going to be a game time thing. And even just if they already know he's playing for strategic purposes, they're not going to say anything to Arizona about who's playing. So it'll be a game time thing. But where are you with the team? Big game Sunday. What's your pick? Or you want us to go first?
Let me start out like this. Prior to the Mayfield injury, I would still – and the beatdown. I don't care about the beatdown. But prior to the injury, not the beatdown, I still would be very bullish on the Bucs finishing strong this year. But the Mayfield injury, and I don't care how much they want to downplay it, that it's only a sprain and this and that, no structural damage, whatever that means, it's a problem they didn't need. Now it's an extra problem.
What a great way to put it, a problem you didn't need.
You didn't need, and with the way the defense is playing, you're not going to win these games 17-13 anymore if you ever were going to. So I'll start off right with this team. The Cardinals, and I didn't believe this till I checked on it. They were 2-0 this year. I didn't even believe it. They're now 3-9, Steve. They've lost 8 out of 9.
Gannon's gone.
But Lee, for the most part, they've lost tight games. Like there were 3 or 4 weeks in a row where they lost by 2 points. So it tells me they don't know how to win. Lee, they don't know how to win. The Bucs are at home. They're not a great home team, the Bucs.
No.
They're not. Simeon Rice, who might volunteer to take a few snaps in the second half, and I think Bulls would put him out on the field, get out there. Well, anyway, the Mayfield injury makes me pause a little bit. I'm almost tempted to pick the visitors, but I'm not going to do it. I got a record to protect, Lee. I'm 10-1. And in the words of Mr. Isbitz a couple of days ago, if they lose this game, the wheels have officially fallen off, and I agree with that. So I think the Bucs are going to extend Arizona's misery in close games, and I'm going to say 21-17 Bucs. Who's up?
This defense has been so horrid the past 3 weeks. I don't know if they're going to be able to change it within 1 week. I do believe the Bucs are going to have to play keep away.
I agree with that.
Yeah, because number one, Mayfield's hurt.
I think they're going to run the ball. Lee.
Yeah, I think they're going to a significant emphasis on the run. They got to play keep away because, you know what? The Cardinals can't score if they don't have the ball. And if they do have the ball, they will score. I got a bad feeling about this game. I'm going to say 21-19 Arizona. If they lose this game by double digits, I'll just say it right now. I don't know who, but there will be people currently employed with the Bucs that will not be here in the end of January. Don't know who, but there will be changes somebody, somewhere in his organization. If the Bucs lose by double digits, I predict it right now. If the Bucs lose by double digits, the free fall, we're in the middle of a free fall at that point.
Maybe more than one. Maybe more than one.
There could be just assistant coaches.
Yep.
Could be others. I don't know.
He's picking the Cardinals,
Ira,
Steve.
The angst on your face. You grabbed
your
brow.
Well, you can't lose to Arizona. You just can't when you need the game.
Well, that's what I mean. I just don't have any faith in them right now.
All right, so we got two terribly struggling teams facing off here. Now, every coach I listen to after he retires and player, they all talk about, all of them, they talk about how a lot of players on bad teams come Thanksgiving, they mail it in, they're making plans for golf, for their January vacations. They're making business decisions to not get hurt.
So why did the Bucs look like that on Sunday night, Steve? That's the question.
I don't know.
They got a head start.
But Arizona seems to define the kind of team that is going to just – they're done. You just lost a heartbreaking game at home, which is mind-boggling that they even lost. Now they got to come across the country after a big Thanksgiving meal – when they're all talking about who's going to be the coach next year, where am I playing next year?
Who's the quarterback?
Yeah, we this is crazy. We suck. I don't see Arizona winning, but I do see them moving the ball for sure and through the air. So give me Brissett with 300 yards and 20 points, and give me the Bucks with 21.
Do you agree with Lee that the Bucks will run the football?
Yeah. Arizona. The only thing Arizona really does well on defense, looking at the numbers and having watched them a few times, but really the numbers, they are very good at stopping yak. They don't allow a lot of yards after catch at all. They tackle. But they've got
and the Bucks aren't good at that. They're not great at that.
But they don't stop the run. They're not a special deep. They don't sack the quarterback, which I think is going to be great for Mayfield with his two tackles in there. I think they'll be able to do enough, and hopefully they use McLaughlin this week instead of keeping him on the shelf.
I got a question for you, Steve. Did you say the score? I don't know if you said the score.
Yeah, I said give me
23-20.
I said give me 20 points for the Cardinals and 300-plus yards passing and 21 for the Bucks.
21-20
Bucks.
21-20.
You said your estimation the Cardinals are done?
Yeah.
Who looks more cooked? A team that gives up a big play right and left, or a team that gets to overtime and loses?
Well, I think the Bucks are, I think mentally is what I'm talking about. So, yes, I'm sure. Visually, you know, we watch one team quit, we watch one team fight, but home away makes a bit of a difference, and I just think.
They just did play the Rams, Lee. It was the Rams.
Yeah.
You got to give them that.
So you're saying, and I hope I get this right, is it the tryptophan on the turkey?
I just think that they're checked out. They're checked out. Too much food, too much next year.
Well, the reason I brought up tryptophan was two reasons. One, you said, you know, big Thanksgiving meal, we got to go cross country. Did you see what Danny Hurley with UConn did? They're in some tournament, you know, UConn basketball. They're in some tournament.
It might be in Hawaii for all
I know.
Well,
wherever they are, no turkey on Thanksgiving Day.
What, is he punishing them?
No, he doesn't want the tryptophan to kick in. Oh. He wants it out of their system by the time they play.
Steve, if you consider yourself a good team, you cannot lose this game on Sunday.
You have to win. You got to come out strong. You got to be methodical here. Get up 14-7 at halftime and just win this thing out.
You know, every year this happens to the Bucks. If you are a good team, you should beat, and they don't.
Well, historically, they do. They haven't lost to a bad team all year.
Well, I'm saying the last few years, Bulls at Cleveland. Bowls at Dallas. I mean, it happens
every
year.
Steve, if I told you right now that Bridgewater is playing the entire game, would you still pick the Bucks?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, if they pick the wrong backup quarterback, that's on them. So until I see that he can't play, I'm have a little faith.
I'll get you going, Ira. Like I said, I talked to Sean Sullivan this morning. One of a litany of issues he has with the Bucks. You can't tell me Kyle Trask couldn't move the ball better than Teddy Bridgewater.
Again with the Kyle Trask?
Well, Bridgewater set the table for people to bring up Trask.
He can't even make an active roster, Lee. Nobody's active roster.
That's true. He's on a practice squad. You're right. But, I mean, I think that's a fair question. He could move the ball better than Teddy Bridgewater.
I'll give it Bridgewater a pass for game one, but he was unimpressive, certainly. He was unimpressive.
Yeah.
Lee, where's your Mayfield meter? Mine's at 85%. Are you in the 90s that he's going to play?
80.
Steve?
92.5, Ira. 92.5. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there if you need any vehicle, truck, whatever it is. BillCurryFord.com.
Anyway, Steve, I'm sure you guys join me in wishing all our listeners and our Joe Bucks fan extended family happy holidays.
Of course. Thanksgiving's made for slobs like me.
Are you inviting them all over to your house, Al? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely not. But we do appreciate it.
What's on your plate this year? Now you're down 10
What's
pounds.
What's not on my plate?
Is it 9?
What's not on my plate? I bought some shrimp today. I'm bringing some shrimp. I don't show up empty-handed, Steve. I got some jumbo shrimp.
On ice, I hope.
On ice with a little shrimp cocktail.
Now, what is more importantly, what does Cosmo have in his bowl?
I don't know, because he's going to the kennel. And good luck, Cosmo. We'll pick you up. He gave us that look because he knows what's going on.
He knows. But,
yeah, so nothing's off limits this year?
There's something off limits. And people might turn off this podcast. I don't like pumpkin pie, and I'm not going to eat it. Nobody's going to cram pumpkin pie down my throat.
I read this on Twitter. No, you've heard of the turducken, right?
Yeah.
Now, allegedly, Fox, during the Lions broadcast, are going to debut a new dessert. It's called pie cakin', and it's three layers. It looks like a cake. It's three layers. The first layer is apple pie. The second layer is pumpkin pie. The third layer is some type of cake. I don't know what.
I'm ordering on Amazon by Friday.
Well, Ira, Sunday we'll be recording after the Bucks game, and God forbid they lose, it will be all hell will break loose on this podcast,
and people will blank their Thanksgiving Day dinner.
Lee, if they got any professional pride after what they just put out there Sunday evening.
Well, that says it all.
They're going to play a good game.
No, you can't say that. I know where the podcast is over, but you can't say that because you would have said the same thing after Buffalo.
That wasn't an embarrassment.
For the defense?
This was an embarrassment.
44 points?
For the team, it wasn't an embarrassment. For the team.
So what happened to
this
the
defense? This was an embarrassment.
What happened to the defense last week? They got murdered in Buffalo, and then they came out and said the hell with it? What happened? It's troubling, Ira.
He takes off his headset.
He has taken off his headset. I've never seen him do that.
Me, I walk away screaming. Ira just takes off his headset.
Ira, you got no microphone on. We're out. Happy Thanksgiving.